DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to bring to you an interview I actually did several years ago with Abby Johnson. Abby's journey has been an incredible one. She quit her job in October 2009. That simple act became a national news story because Abby was the director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas. After she participated in an actual abortion procedure for the first time, she walked down the street to join the Coalition for Life. Her book, entitled Unplanned, The Dramatic True Story of a Former Planned Parenthood Leader's Eye-Opening Journey Across the Lifeline, was released in 2011, and in the spring of 2019 is now a major motion picture. So once again, please join me in my conversation with Abby Johnson, going inside the pages of Unplanned, published by Ignatius Press. Father Joseph Fezzio of Ignatius Press says that Unplanned by Abby Johnson is a book that records a moment of extraordinary grace. He goes on to say that the book itself is an extraordinary grace, and more bluntly, that this book will become the pro-life classic of the early 21st century. Archbishop Charles Chaput comments that it is beautifully written, intimate and honest, a wonderful portrait of the power of truth and grace working in the human heart. And Father Benedict Rochelle says that it is a moving true story of the shocking truth of abortion and how God's love and forgiveness transformed Abby's life. Abby, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Unplanned. Oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to read just kind of a clinical recounting of your experiences. But what I found, I mean, this book is one of the most compelling reads I have had in my hands in years. I couldn't put it down all the way to the very end. Thank you so much for your courage for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you ever expect the reaction that you're getting?
No. Well, I didn't expect any of this. So this has all just been, you know, it's been a wonderful experience, but it's definitely been, you know, surprising, and it's a huge blessing.
You in the book say that God is the great choreographer.
Yes.
He really has had you do a dance, hasn't he?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Talk to us about the experience leading up to that fateful day with the ultrasound. What were your hopes in being a part of the Planned Parenthood organization?
Well, I mean, I thought that I would retire with them. I thought that that would be my career for the rest of my life. I thought that I was helping women, that I was doing the right thing. And I thought that I was honestly helping to save the lives of women by helping them have safe abortions.
Something changed in that, though, didn't it? I mean, was what was the turning point for you?
I got to witness a live abortion take place, an ultrasound-guided abortion. And when I saw that, I got to see a 13-week-old baby fighting for its life during an ultrasound-guided abortion and ultimately lose that battle. And I knew at that moment that, you know, something was going to have to change, and that it was going to involve me leaving Planned Parenthood.
This happened at the clinic that you had become a supervisor of in Bryan, Texas.
Right.
You hadn't seen an abortion up to that point.
Well, I had been in the room but we had never actually done an ultrasound-guided abortion up until that point.
How many years had you been with Planned Parenthood, Abby?
I'd been with them for 8 years.
8 years. I think for abortion, for many people, it remains the hidden procedure. We don't see it. I mean, it's not like you see them done on television like you see every other procedure, is it?
No, and I think that, you know, if people could actually see what takes place in abortion, even people who consider themselves pro-choice, if people could could see that they would actually start to question what they really believe.
Your decision to join Planned Parenthood was one that, I mean, you were very optimistic. Like you said, you wanted to help women and to do the right thing. But even your own mom and dad, they had some reservations about this, didn't they?
Yes. Well, I didn't even actually tell them that I was volunteering with Planned Parenthood for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know. I mean, they were pro-life. And so I think that just in my gut, I knew that they would have a problem with me volunteering there. I didn't know really how much they knew about Planned Parenthood, but, you know, I thought, okay, if I get enough good stories about what I do and about Planned Parenthood, then maybe I can just convince them that what I'm doing is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and can just kind of overshadow the abortions that we do, because I knew that they wouldn't like that. The third chapter starts off with, you know, never trust a decision that you can't tell your mom about. And I think mm-hmm. that there's, you know, definitely some truth in, you know, in that.
As I was reading the book, I got the real sense that you considered yourself pro-choice, but you didn't consider yourself anti-life.
No, not at all. I mean, I love kids. And I wanted for women to make a decision that was good for them and a decision that they felt, you know, was right for them. I just felt like that I wanted to be someone who was helping women make safe decisions. And I thought, you know, if abortion is going to be legal, then let's just have a place where women can go and have a safe abortion. And that was pretty much it. I didn't think much about, you know, when life begins or any type of issues like that. It was pretty simple for me. I was pretty simple-minded, honestly, about the whole debate. And I just thought, you know, it's a legal choice and, it should be legal. So women aren't having to go to back alley abortion centers to have abortions. And, you know, it was just that easy for me. It was just that simple.
It sounds as though you genuinely cared about the individual women that you met.
I mean, I did.
You cared about their persons.
I did. I absolutely did. And I, you know, I believed that I was helping them. I was keeping them safe. I believed that, you know, I was helping them get back on the road to independence or their career or their education or, you know, whatever it was that they needed and the reason that they were choosing their abortion. I didn't see them as selfish. You know, I saw it as really an unselfish decision. I saw it as something that, you know, they were making this decision because they didn't feel like they could care for a child at the time. And, you know, I don't know. I know it seems like people think, you know, abortion, selfish decision, you know, and all this, but I don't know. I just think that when a woman is faced with a crisis, you know, many times, they aren't thinking in a selfish way. They really are believing that by having an abortion, it is really the best thing for the baby. And that seems like it's not logical to pro-lifer, you know, us as pro-lifers, but it makes sense in their minds, and the abortion industry just helps to reaffirm that.
It comes across very strongly that the jarring, rock-shaking moment in your life is when you encountered the actual identity of that child struggling for its life on the back
yes.
table. That's when all of a sudden that was a person too. Who
yeah.
needed to have assistance, like the women you cared for. But now here's the reality of the existence of an actual life, and it was being destroyed.
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't something, I didn't go home and say, you know, oh, I didn't go home crying or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just went home thinking that, I went home shocked,
mm-hmm.
just really almost like, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like it would have been just so much easier to go home and pretend like that hadn't have happened. And but I knew that I couldn't, you know, I think at one point I thought, you know, can I just pretend like it didn't happen? But I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what I had seen. I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had to do something with it.
God gifted you with a wonderful spouse, a guy named Doug.
Yeah.
You had him to talk about this. Was his reaction to your experiences surprising to you?
Well, when I first came home and told him about it, you know, I first came home and I said, I've got to tell you something. And he didn't want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-life. And he just was like, I don't want to hear, you know, I don't want to hear about it. And I said, I'm sorry, but you have to. I mean, I have to tell you
mm-hmm.
about this. And so he sat there and listened. And I think that he could tell from just my reaction that I was just kind of at this impasse where I did not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just very quiet and listened and just kind of let us be silent for a little bit. And I think he could just tell I was really thinking. And he finally said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I just know I can't work there anymore after seeing that. He said, okay, well, you know, then let's get to work. You know, let's try to find you another job. I know that he was scared, you mm-hmm. know, because he's a teacher. So, I mean, I was bringing home the majority of the income and all of that. But I think he was just so ready for me to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. The things they were asking you to do, I think it has been brought to light now on such an unbelievable national scale. I mean, it was enough that it could have affected your life in Bryan, Texas. But the fact that what came forward from the revelations of what Planned Parenthood actually does as an incentive to, you know, to hype the number of abortions in their clinics. I mean, did you ever expect it to happen the way it has?
No, never. Never. I didn't expect that at all. And honestly, I was surprised, and I guess I shouldn't have been, but I didn't think it would come to that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they would do that to me, which is strange, but I almost just thought, you know, they're going to respect my wish to leave and they're going to respect my choice. So I was surprised when they didn't respect that choice.
You can't be the first supervisor. I mean, really, out of all the years and all the clinics in Planned Parenthood's history that has left, and yet the hammer that came down on you in particular in Bryan, Texas, I mean, the fact that they would put an injunction on you. I mean, how often has that happened?
You know, I don't know if it's ever happened to anybody else. I wouldn't have even been speaking publicly except that they put it out there for mm-hmm. me. And so I just, you know, they sent out the press release and just simply responded. I didn't even know when they sent out the press release, it was just about the restraining order. And when they sent it out, I didn't even know what the restraining order was about. But mm-hmm. I thought, well, you know, I guess I better respond in some way. And that's what actually became the story.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen. If you have been blessed in some way by the spiritual nourishment and teachings offered freely by all those involved with Discerning Hearts programs, please consider a positive review for the various programs on the iTunes and Google Play stores. This is a great way to help the ministry and is an encouragement to others who are seeking the best in spiritual formation to find and check out the programs. Won't you please help? It's an easy way to help give back and to be a part of the mission. Thank you, and God bless from all at Discerning Hearts.
We now return to Inside the Pages.
Yeah, we're talking with Abby Johnson, the author of Unplanned, and your decision to leave after that day, I mean, you had this almost like a tsunami that was kind of welling up as it was getting close to shore. You knew you had to do something. You turned to a group that had been standing outside of your place of work for years. Mm-hmm. And praying, and that was Coalition for Life down in Bryan, Texas. That must have been, as you recount it in the book, and I do want people to get it because it is such a great read. When you went walking through their doors, I'm sure you were greeted with a great deal of love, but probably a few dropped jaws.
Yeah, a few. Yeah, they were very surprised to see me, to say the least. But they were... I mean, they were just incredible. I mean, you know, you go outside and you say, if you ever want to leave, we'll help you. And you say things like that. You never know if they're really going to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know if it's really just lip service. Are they really, really, really going to have something in line for you? Are they really going to get moving? Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as I was done having my meltdown and they were done, you know, being in shock, which took probably about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They really hit the ground running. They had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were serious. We better be serious. And that's what I tell people. If you go out there and you are at the clinic and you tell a worker, we want to help you find another job and we can help you, you better have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
In place, because we ought to expect people to be turning away from the abortion industry. You know, we serve a God of miracles. He is in the business of miracles. And we should expect people to be turning away from the sin of abortion and coming to the truth and coming to us that are standing out there on the sidewalks, you know, offering the love of Christ and offering the honesty of Christ and his love. And so, We should have a plan in place so that when they come to us, we can go ahead and put it in motion.
Mm-hmm. Abby, what would you say to that worker now who may be hearing this, or to that person who is supporting Planned Parenthood because they feel they want to help women? I mean, they in their hearts, just as the people that you knew that you worked with and the ones that, and even yourself. I mean, there was a sincere desire to do good. What would you say to them now from the perspective that you have?
Well, what I would say is I do know that our goals are the same in that manner, you know, that we do want to help women, but there's a better way to help women than to send them into an abortion room. And that is to help them choose life. You know, women never regret having a child. When I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, I was devastated, but I never regret, you know, having her. I've never regretted being a mom, but I do regret the two abortions I had.
Mm-hmm.
I do regret that lost motherhood. And it's the same for all mothers that I know. They don't regret their children, but they regret the children that they aborted. You know, I think that's important to keep at the forefront of our mind. You know, are we really helping women, or are we just helping them make a decision that they're going to regret?
Mm-hmm.
I pray for clinic workers across this country every day, and I know that their goals are well-intentioned and that they're good people. And I just pray that, you know, one day we'll all be fighting on the same side of the fence, and that's for life.
Mm. One of the things that you pointed out in the book is that Planned Parenthood, it offers the short-term solution, mm-hmm. and that as that support of life, that's those who you have worked with in the pro-life movement offer the longer sustaining solution. That's a harder one to sell sometimes. I mean, maybe that's what, is that the marketing hook that Planned Parenthood has?
Yeah, that it's quick and that you won't think about it. You know, that you're going to be done with it. You won't ever think about it again. The majority of women that work in the abortion clinics, they have had abortions themselves. So they'll say, you know, I've had an abortion and I'm totally fine. I don't regret my abortion. And so they trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for us to kind of would prey on these most vulnerable women.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause they were looking to those sisters in the clinic, the other women,
right.
to say it's going to be okay. And they
That's
would.
Right. And yeah, and we would say it would.
What's occurring now in the country as far as the defunding of Planned Parenthood? Does that surprise you that this could actually be happening?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think that people are finally starting to wake up to the injustice of abortion. They're finally starting to wake up to the reality of Planned Parenthood and what they're doing to the women in this country. And that there are better options out there besides Planned Parenthood.
And I would imagine when you called your mother to tell her you were leaving Planned Parenthood, I mean, what was her reaction to that?
Well, they were thrilled. My mom and my dad were absolutely thrilled. They had to pull the car over to talk to me. They were so excited. And that was a very good day. A little scared. A little scary. But it was very exciting.
Well, I am holding a copy of the Ignatius Press edition of Unplanned, again, by Abby Johnson, the dramatic true story of a former Planned Parenthood leader's eye-opening journey across the lifeline. And I'm seeing endorsements of this book by Father Benedict Rochelle and Archbishop Charles Chaput, to name just a couple, extraordinary people that have stepped up to endorse this work. As Father Fezzio has said in the inside of this particular edition, this is going to be the 21st century classic. And Abby, you're responsible for that. I mean, just being open to that courage. I mean, that it takes a tremendous amount of grace to have that. God's presence in your life must just be extraordinarily there right now. I mean, you must be feeling him just carrying you through this whole moment in history.
Yeah, I mean, people are, you know, they'll ask me, don't you just feel so overwhelmed? And honestly, I don't, you know. I mean, I rarely feel overwhelmed. I travel all the time. I'm always on the road. But I just, you know, I rarely feel overwhelmed. And I think it's just because I feel like I'm kind of in this constant state of prayer, and I think that God just kind of gives me the grace that I need every day to get through this. I mean, I couldn't do it, you know, without him and without his grace. I mean, it's really been amazing, because I would be, I'm kind of a high strung person. So I would generally be a person that would easily be, overwhelmed and feeling frustrated. But it's really just, I mean, this whole experience has just been really amazing.
And if you don't mind sharing with our audience in particular, it is going to be a very special Easter this year for you.
Yes.
And do you care sharing that with us?
Yeah, my husband and I are both coming into the Catholic Church.
Wow. Welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you. We're really, really excited.
As you're going through that, I know there were a couple issues that you had to kind of pray through, and it's pretty has been told the story of how you had yet another one of those eye-opening moments in the least expected times on a particular issue. Do you want to share that one?
Yeah. Whenever I left Planned Parenthood, I just, you know, I thought I'm never going to not believe in contraception. I mean, I thought it just doesn't even make sense to not believe in contraception. Of course, you have to believe in contraception. You know, I'd grown up in a contraceptive-minded family. And so I just thought that was what you should do. I'd been on contraception from a very young age, and we were contracepting in our marriage. So anyway, one day I was in, my husband and I were in Mass, and, you know, I'm sitting there, and I was looking at this woman who I don't know, and she had this tiny little baby up on her shoulder, and it was just like, again, like God was just hitting me on the head with a brick, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I was an IUD user, mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh gosh, I've got to get this IUD out. I mean, like ASAP. I leaned over to my husband and I said, you know, I've got to get this IUD out. And he just looked
right
at
there
me
at
and
Mass.
He said,
yeah.
He said, now? I said, no, not now, but
oh,
I said,
God.
Very soon. And I said, we shouldn't be contracepting anymore. And he said, well, I didn't think we were, you know, ready to have any more kids right now. I didn't think we were going to plan for that right now. And I said, yeah. And he said, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. I guess we'll use that NFP.
There you go.
And so I went that Monday. I got my IUD taken out, and we've been using that NFP thing ever since. So it's been amazing.
You won't be disappointed, dear.
No, we haven't been. It's been amazing, and you know, it's just it's been great. And I always said people that used NFP were crazy. So here we are. We're crazy, I guess.
It just goes to show you, I mean, the Mass is the most powerful encounter of grace that we have in the Catholic Church. It doesn't surprise me at all. At that moment, the Lord would speak to you very strongly.
Yeah. Everything has come pretty quick. So,
but yet he's carrying you. He's lifting you up on eagle's wings.
Yes, absolutely.
He's carrying you, and you have so much support from all of us. And I don't doubt that there'll be many, many layers to Abby Johnson. I have a feeling that this is just in your wonderful spouse, Doug. I mean, the
yes.
fact that the two of you as a couple have stood so strongly and been born such a witness. It's amazing how God works. People have been trying to battle Planned Parenthood for all these years, and in courts and in protests and all this other stuff. And you come forward with the support of your spouse and offer this wit. I mean, and it wasn't like you wanted to be a spokesperson.
Right, no.
But here it happens. It's an incredible, incredible journey. And I don't doubt that. Now you're speaking in front of legislatures and large groups. Who knows what the future has, yes?
Yep. No, we don't know. It's unplanned.
It's unplanned. A great way to end. And well, in a very special way, I don't doubt that most of the people that are hearing this, when they sit down at the Saturday night of the Easter Vigil this year, they're going to be kind of, even though we won't be in Bryan, Texas, we'll be thinking of you and your husband.
And thank you.
You'll be in our prayers. God bless you. Any final thoughts?
No, just, gosh, keep praying, keep fighting, keep up the battle. You know, it's not over yet, and we need people to call their senators, you know, call your U.S. senator, get on the phone. You know, we've got, last thing that we heard was that the people that are for Planned Parenthood, the supporters of Planned Parenthood, they're outnumbering us on the phones, calling their legislators are outnumbering us like 60-1 on the phone. So grassroots efforts are really, really important. So email your friends, call your friends, get them to call their senators. It's very, very important.
Marching orders, everybody. Get out there. If Abby can do this, we can stand with her, can't we? God bless you. And thank you so much for standing for life.
Thank you.
With Abby Johnson, we've gone inside the pages of Unplanned, the dramatic true story of a former Planned Parenthood leader's eye-opening journey across the lifeline. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for the publisher of the special Catholic edition, Ignatius Press. or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.